Thank you for listening to this episode of Just Some Guardians. Before we get into the actual show, I just wanted to get in here and blurb real quick that since we recorded this yesterday, it came out today that 6v6 Iron Banner has found a bug and will not actually be going live next week, and we will be getting Rumble instead. Also, if you are interested from within the community, Issa Cole is writing a Destiny-themed story. She's written a few of them. But this one, she's actually looking for voice actors and such to do a like radio show kind of reading of her story. So if you have some sort of sweet voice you want to add to this, or something you're interested in, want to help in the community, you can find her on Twitter at Issa_Cole, and there are links to everything you need to contact her and submit your voice for that. So you have through this Sunday, to put that through. So please go ahead and jump in there and be part of it, because it's amazing. Now, on to the show. Sin Media says, oh, hey, girl, hey. Hello and welcome to Just Some Guardians, episode 19. Thank you all to chat who have tuned in suddenly out of nowhere. Holy crap. Hi. How is everybody? Welcome to the show. People literally just appeared. Hot Lord. Damn.
Boy, are you mistaken.
So good.
You are in the wrong place.
But we are Just Some Guardians. We are a Destiny-themed podcast that does Destiny content every other week. And then, as you all know, we fill in the in-betweens with our nerd talk. This week is, of course, our Destiny show
nerd
covering...
Talk.
Oh, no, this is awkward. We planned horribly.
Oh, no,
I'm so confused. So in our nerd talk this week, we're going to talk about Destiny. Loophole equals win.
Oh.
We're going to be covering the Go Fast update, which hit us last Tuesday. And the This Week at Bungie for April 5th, 2018. And then whatever else nonsensical stuff happens with Just Some Guardians. So, joining me tonight,
be a lot.
We have the effervescent chime sound and bubbly sound.
Twinkle, 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 twinkle.
Russell, what's up, dude?
Not much, baby. How you doing?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing good, dude. I'm feeling all right.
I'm
ready to do
too.
Some professional podcasting.
Yeah. 1-2 punch, yeah.
Yeah. So after this show, I'm going on another one, and that's where I'll get my... professional podcasting done.
Touché.
Well, guesting. Touché. We have a guest once again, guys. Are you ready? The biggest name in the industry, ladies and gentlemen. As promised, we have the President of the United States of... Oh, wait, no, never mind. My bad.
Da, da,
that's the nerd talk.
Da, 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 da.
We have Bull Solaris with us, my friends. What is up, my dude?
Hey, how are you?
Doing good.
How's
man?
It going tonight?
Doing fantastic. Glad we finally got you on here. I know we were trying to set it up for a couple weeks here, so good to have you.
Yeah, we've been talking about it. I'm glad to hop in and talk.
You ready to talk some Destiny tonight, my man?
Yeah, I am. I'm the Skullfast update. I have some words for it.
Me too.
Yep, there's going to be many words. This is going to be good. This could be a long show, ladies and gentlemen, so grab onto your butts.
My wife is still awake, so I can't actually cuss, but boy, do I wish I could.
Well, I'll sing her a lullaby, and then she'll go to sleep, then you can cuss your head off.
Oh, okay. Brett's going to sing you a lullaby, sweetheart.
I won't let me log in.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm heartbroken. Well, before we dive into the actual update and our thoughts on the Destiny stuff, Mr. Solaris, would you be so kind as to tell everyone where you are, who you are, and what you do, man?
I am, I'm a human being. I live in the frozen tundra. I'm not a robot. I've been accused of all hacks and lagging and everything, but I tell you what, I'm full-fledged human. I meet Popsicle at the moment because Wisconsin's pretty damn cold. And we just had about 3 feet of snow over the past 2 days. So,
oh, God.
Yeah, it's not fun. PvP
I
is
miss
rage
the snow,
inducing,
but not
so
that much.
yeah, you'll never hear that from anybody in Wisconsin. I miss the snow.
Right. I wish it would come back to me. No, it's fun. So I'm over here in Denver, and yeah, all week it's been like 60, 70 degrees and sunshine, and everyone just expects it to be like that all year round for us.
I'm not jealous at all.
No, good. I'm glad. At all. Like, seriously, dude, that's really good for you. I'm glad that you can, really pull yourself out of your own situation and not feel bad. That's very important. I'm proud of you.
Absolutely. Strong
Whatever, it's like
individual.
80 degrees here in Texas.
No one wants to be in Texas.
I'm pretty sure everybody wants to be in Texas around this time
No.
of year,
I've driven through
especially if you
Texas
live in
once.
Wisconsin.
I've driven through Texas once, and that was awful.
Really? Texas isn't
Seriously.
that bad. It depends on which part you go through. The Hill Country is really pretty, which is where
That's
I'm
not where
at
I
in California.
drove through.
The oil fields are kind of boring. New Mexico
That's
is much worse
exactly
than
where I drove
Kansas is
through.
even worse than New Mexico. The oil fields, yeah, the
Oh,
oil fields get pretty boring because it's just kind of flat nothingness. But Hill
reminds me of
Country's really pretty.
Nebraska.
But like, I'd rather drive through Nebraska than do that Texas drive again. I'm not even kidding.
See, but if you come near San Antonio, they have wildflowers, especially during the spring on the side of the interstate. So it's super pretty. You should get all the blue bonnets and you get the other wildflowers. I don't know what their names are. Wildflowers. That's their name.
All the wildflowers.
Yeah. But it actually is legitimately gorgeous, especially this time of year. Hill Country's kind of nice anyway because it's a lot more green. You get those rolling hills.
I've never been
I
more
just want
scared
the
in my
warmth.
life than doing that drive. We were driving at night for a part of it. So we stopped for dinner. This tiny town has no name. There's no lights anywhere in this entire town except for a Dairy Queen in the very middle. And it's the only thing in the entire town with lights. You went in there, there was like one person, super sketchy looking dude. We ordered our food, we sat outside, and literally past the parking lot, it was just sheer blackness. You couldn't make out anything outside of the parking lot. And that was one of the scariest meals of my life. I'm like, I'm going to die
That
in this
was
tiny
wow.
little Dairy Queen in Texas.
So I would like to say something about Dairy Queens in Texas
I know
because
what you're going to say.
we have nothing in our town. It's a very small town. I mean, it's mostly old people, but it's pretty small. Three Dairy Queens.
Yep. No, that was the
Three
main
Dairy
thing we
Queens.
said driving through Texas. We're like, how come the only thing we're seeing in every town is a Dairy Queen?
Well, Dairy Queen is the Texas is where Dairy Queen originated, apparently, but
That
yeah,
makes sense.
just Dairy Queens for days.
I mean, it gets warm there. You're gonna need some Dairy Queen.
That's
That's
true.
true.
Yeah, I'm sure it's
We need
popping
all
down
that
there.
ice cream goodness.
That was a fun tangent. Hey, Bolsolaris, you're still a guest. What do you do, dude?
I play a lot of Destiny. Probably too much Destiny. Still dabble in D1, but I mainly do up in D2. By night, by day, I am a software engineer, so
Oh, cool, dude.
I get to sit on my ass
Hey.
24/7, sir.
Oh,
Me
yeah.
too. It's also what I do for a living. Well, right now I'm a database analyst, but software engineer trained.
There you go.
So, what kind of things do you do in the Destiny community, my man?
I do Nightfall carries to the point of just shoot the things that we're all shooting. I'm not going to guarantee anybody 80k runs or anything like that, but we get people like their prestige auras and their emblems and things like that. When I have a group, we'll Sherpa people through the new raids as much as we possibly can. And I do, I'm not good enough to Sherpa on PvP, but I definitely like to stick my neck in there, no matter how much it angers me or it gets to me. I stick it out because I like the I feel like that's one of the big end games for Destiny, just in general.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I was able to jump into your stream a few times this week, and you weren't kidding when you said Nightfall carries, like, you were running them just back to back to back to back to back, and I was like, oh my god, I couldn't do that. I'm proud of you.
Oh yeah, I obsess until I get all the emblem variants and all the awesome gear that's available for it. Well, be a ghost or a sniper or whatnot. And
wow.
Even after, if somebody hasn't got it yet, we still keep chugging on. It doesn't always have to be somebody from the clan that we're working with to do it. I take people from the chat as long as they're, like, you know, appropriate light level and stuff. So
that's impressive.
Well, there's not much else you can do to help the community out right now besides just staying positive, so.
Definitely, for
that's
sure.
True.
I hear that. And yeah, no, seriously, like, it's a positive atmosphere when you go into your stream. Even when everything's going awful, like, you're not raging at someone that did something bad. It's just like, all right, guys, it's okay. Shake it off. Breathe it. Let's go. Let's try again. It's all good.
Yeah, it can be frustrating being about 30 minutes into a, or 20 to 25 minutes into a nightfall run, and you see the score ticking down, and things just, it's dominoes. One thing goes wrong, and then everything goes wrong, and there's 25 minutes you're probably not going to get back ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Or when you're doing the Pyramidian and you get the boss to, like, if you sneeze on him, he's dead, and then everyone wipes and it kicks you to orbit.
Oh, yeah, it's... It's funny you mention that strike, because I think my most impressive kill was with a snowball on Brachion when he had just a sliver of health left.
I miss those snowballs and, so much.
Yeah, they were so nice in strikes. They were grenade-level power, and... It blinded everything, and it was fantastic.
The animation was awesome for it too. It was super satisfying.
It was. And shout out to the Charlemagne bot for those guys for running that snowball contest. That was really cool of them to do.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's so much fun. Sin from chat here was asking real quick. He said he knows you were a software engineer. Does that mean you work from home or are you at an office?
It's a mix of both. So the office that I work at, well, our company actually just got bought out by another worldwide company. So our office is going to be moving soon. But previously, our office is like 5 minutes away from my house. But I do work from home from time to time, too.
That's awesome.
Say I go into the office more often than I work from home.
Yeah, Russell over here, he just works from home all the time.
Yep.
Super jelly.
It's good sometimes. Sometimes it's not so great, because sometimes getting things done can be a little bit of a hassle. Oh,
yeah,
you're in this other state so far away? Here, let me set up a time to talk to you so I can walk you through a thing to try to get what we need. Happy days.
Well, before we dive into the update and the TWAB and all that stuff, since I'd mentioned, you know, your Twitch stream and stuff, what got you into, how long have you been doing the stream on Twitch and what got you started there?
Oh man, it's going to go. So I've always loved playing video games and I always liked having kind of an audience or people to watch or to help or to show, you know, how to do something or get them through a spot. And that goes all the way back to the Dark Souls, on PlayStation 3. That was my very first sort of, I was really good at the PvP in that game, and it was my first foray into the streaming service, and man, it was, the setup I had was, I had this gigantic, like, stream box thing that had about 20 cords coming out of it. I think it was called a Hapog or something like that.
Yeah, I remember seeing ads for that back in the day.
Yeah, and my computer was so bad at the time that I couldn't have, like, an overlay or anything like that. I just basically passed everything straight through to the internet and or to Twitch. Yeah, I think it was Twitch at the time, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's basically when I had started it, and it was just streaming some PvP. I don't think anything ever big really happened, but I think that's kind of how I got started with it. Because it was grindy game for some, like, factions and stuff in there. There was so much grinding to do, like, in the PvP, and I figured I had people that always ask me how to do stuff, so streamed it. Found a way to do it.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
I love stories
like that.
Dark
Souls is probably my favorite franchise.
Yeah. It's, in fact, it's part of the Demon Soul or Dark Souls universe, but Demon Souls is the only reason I got a PlayStation 3.
Oh,
Really?
Like
really?
that, yeah, that game sold me on a PlayStation 3. So,
Well, I've
yeah,
never
if.
played Demon Souls, but I hear it is amazing. Yeah,
it's.
I
It
hear it is
is.
sucky at times, but also amazing.
So very few games, like if you're doing really bad, very few games punish you for doing really, really bad.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the games that does that. Because it's got an overworld mechanic called World Tendency. And the more you die and the more you souls you lose and the more the crappier you do, like the world turns towards this pure black world tendency from like a neutral color.
Really?
And in pure black world tendency, everything is stronger. Everything.
What?
And the more successful you get, the more successful you get, the more bosses you kill, the longer you play without dying, you move it towards a pure white world tendency where things are easier, less enemies spawn, and there are less red and blue-eyed enemies, which are basically enemies that have eyes that glow that specific color that are more aggressive and have higher attack and hurt a lot more. But there were specific trophies, I think there were trophies, and in-game storylines that you couldn't experience unless you were in one world tendency or the other, whether it be pure black, pure white, or neutral.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that
See,
level of
I
depth
never knew
just sucked
that.
me in.
That is really cool. I'm glad that they did away with that continuing into Dark Souls and Bloodborne, because I cannot imagine. It's punishing enough, especially when you first start. Just the sheer frustration
Yeah,
until
that's a
you
good way to put it.
get good
As you get
is
better, the game gets
insane.
easier. Wait, hold on. Shouldn't it guide me into that? No. Oh.
I can't even imagine a Dark Souls where it gets harder the worse you play. That's when that would be tears on my part.
It was definitely a learning experience, and I was unfathomably hooked on the game, because I was a huge fan of like the Mega Man series and like the really hard RPGs from the original Nintendo Entertainment System. Like I loved it. It was all memorization and like platforming, and you memorize patterns, you can cruise through something and get it done. And Demon Souls was kind of the same way. Like every enemy had a spawn placement. And if you died, everything reset. Or if you rested at a bonfire, everything reset. So you can make your way for quite a while, and if you're running out of healing items or something like that, you could go back to the bonfire, rest. But the penalty for resting was, here, everything's gonna respawn. However, you know the pattern, you know where they are, you know how they're gonna react, you know how you can kite them around. So it was just a learning process. And if you were patient enough, it just made things easier.
That's crazy. Well, what got you into moved you from there over into Destiny and then starting to stream with that content? How'd you end up where you are here?
So I'm gonna be honest, Destiny is my second ever first person shooter. GoldenEye and Perfect Dark on the Nintendo 64 were the first ones that I'd ever got into.
That's amazing.
Good
And
ones to start with.
that's honestly amazing.
And so I never upgraded to a PlayStation 4 at all. I kept the PS3 for the longest time, just doing Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 2 stuff. And at the time, I was really focused on, health benefits and going to the gym and getting physically fit and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, a bunch of people from work are like, "Hey, have you heard about this new game? It's a cross of GoldenEye mixed with this other game I know you really like, called Phantasy Star Online." And Phantasy Star Online was a really old RPG kind of grindy game.
Oh
It's a
yeah,
JRPG, isn't it?
Fantasy Star, yeah.
I think it is, yeah, like JRPG for the normal Phantasy Stars. And then Phantasy Star Online was like a almost MMO-ish, almost, But not quite. You had like chat rooms and party forming and things like that, and extremely rare loot drops from the commonest of enemies and rare versions of enemies. Anyway, Destiny was supposed to be like that. And one of my gaming buddies is like, "You gotta try this game out. You really gotta get it." So I'm like, "Ah, but it's a whole new system just for one game. I don't even, am I even gonna put that kind of time into it? Like, do I really need this?" And I was also playing Magic the Gathering at the time, so I'm like,
Oh
financially,
man,
I don't know.
yeah, that gets pricey keeping up with that for sure.
Magic the Gathering is super pricey if you want to have a competitive deck.
Oh yeah.
Yep. And I'm a highly competitive person, unfortunately.
Yeah, me too.
So that just did not.
Yeah. No,
Yeah,
I
yep. The
so
wallet's been traumatized.
poor
But
thing.
fast forward to that summer, my buddy's like, "Just come over and try it on my PS4. I got a beta or an alpha, a beta account, whatever set up. You can just try the game out." And oh my gosh, was I like in love with it. Like I see these little things fall to the ground and I pick it up and it's like a new weapon or a new piece of like armor that I could equip. And it changed the way my character looked. Like the gun models looked different and the armor that I put on made my character look different, which I mean, having that fix, or not having that fix satiated since basically GameCube days with Phantasy Star Online, I was just on cloud nine with it.
Yeah,
And
that is so
so I
awesome.
got like three or four different characters up to level 7. I think I deleted a couple because the max level for the beta was level 7. And auto rifles were awesome. I completely stayed out of PvP. But I was like, yeah, this is so cool. And, I told my buddy, this is really great. I think for a birthday present for me this fall, I'm gonna get a white PS4, with this Destiny, and that's what I did. And let's see, I'm gonna go to time wasted on Destiny here real quick,
Oh, that's gonna be
and
good.
see, time wasted on Destiny one,
There's always half of you
wasted
that's
on.
like, yeah, me. And there's always half of you that's like, dear God, what did I do with my life?
Yeah. I think it was, I can't find it right at this moment, which is really odd, but it was an upwards of like 3,000 hours that were spent on Destiny 1.
Whoa.
And as soon as something was like found out or somebody found something, bam, I was right on the game. I don't care if it was 2 o'clock in the morning, or I don't care if it was on my lunch break from work and I had to take a couple hours of PTO. I was getting it done right then, right there. And I just come home for lunch for bounties. I don't know, I was just hooked on it. And I kept it. It just stuck. And I mean, here I am today.
God, that's so awesome. So what got you into the into doing like Nightfall carries and all that stuff?
So, a lot of people say Nightfalls really don't mean anything anymore. And we all know that the community is pretty fractured at the moment, with everything that they want the game to be,
That's the first time I've
and
ever heard that.
everything the game currently isn't, and there's more people talking negatively about the game than there are people actually playing the game, I feel. And
I
some
would agree with
people,
that.
even going on LFG, it's really hard to find a consistent group of people that know kind of what they're doing and how to play that high level-ish content, especially with like Destiny 1 Nightfall rules, where everybody dies. I mean, there's a significant penalty for it. You're going to orbit, and you
No
gotta
matter
start
what,
over.
boom, done.
Yeah. And a lot of people just can't get groups together, so I figured I'm okay at it, and there's a lot of stuff to grind for it, so let's see if we can't get some viewers in that are in chat every once in a while, or just get pick random people off the LFG that need one person or are looking for one more or something like that, just to help get them through it.
That's
That's
awesome, dude.
Because there's still some part of me that wants to see that exotic Ingram drop and it be the new Ghost or the new Sparrow or something that nobody's ever
Yeah.
gotten, you know?
Yeah, well, and that's the best
That
part of that
sense of
is because it's such a
discovery.
rare thing for people to have right now that it's just like, oh, I have it.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping that this downtime with Destiny is there's going to be all these things that people get.
Mm-hmm.
People that continue to play, and the people that are continually loyal to the franchise, no matter the state that it's in, that when people come flocking back to the game, which I truly think people are going to, we're going to have all this stuff, and we're going to be able to like help them get that. We're going to be like, do you want this? Do you want this?
Look at this cool thing I got. Look at this. Look at this.
Yeah, and this is where you can get it. I mean, come on, when somebody got Nano Phoenix for the first time, how many people were flocking back into the Wrath of the Machine raid on hard, or the Shader, or the Sparrow?
Well, and the cool thing with it being individual to each... Oh, you're good. The cool thing I like with it being the individual, like, Nightfalls each, is if you get the thing to drop, and, like, someone else doesn't, they have to wait till the whole rotation's done again.
Right.
For it to be the Nightfall gun before they can get it. So you've got, like, a month of bragging rights. Like, and we haven't had something like that since, you know, D1. So that's really cool to have that again.
Well, and I mean, I feel like that's one of the things. You know, I remember times in D1 where I'd come across somebody and be like, oh my gosh, this person has this armor. It looks so cool. I want that. The one that I specifically remember is the Stag Helm. You know, seeing it on somebody and going, oh, that is the coolest thing that I have seen in a long time. He just looks BA. And then being able to get it, it come up, you know, either on third or just happen to drop, and you'd be like, oh, I have it. I have this thing that I've been wanting for so long. You know? So, I mean, I think that's part of the charm of Destiny, of getting... yeah, those bragging rights, or that kind of sense of pride in, yeah, I've been grinding and I've been working at this game so that I can have the coolest loot. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
And there's something to be said, too, when somebody asks you for that, like, and you're able to help them get it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's the good side of the community, is that sense of, yeah, I can help you get this thing, you know, or you're having trouble with this. Well, let me show you a trick, or let me help you get through it, you know.
Yeah.
That's the good side of the community. Sometimes you don't always run into those nice people.
Oh, for sure. But most of the time, I'd say, like, the people, especially the people that are still around, are all of those people that are like, oh, I noticed you don't have this. Let's do it. I don't care. I got you.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, someone's going to know all the ins and outs and know where to stand and what to watch out for and, you know, just where to go and what to do. And to the point of having people message you, I remember on I was on the moon on D1. I was in all my Titan Vogue gear. And I just felt really good because that Vogue gear looks so damn good. And they messaged me like, where'd you get all of that? The raid. They're like, what's the raid? Immediately, I had this guy in a party chat, and I was I was inviting people from my friends list into the party, and you know, we got to get this guy into a raid to do this stuff. And just the excitement, hearing that excitement in someone's voice when they actually get to do something that they haven't been able to do either on their own.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's amazing. It's kind of a
you know,
high.
I still have not completed any of the raids from D1. And so I can speak from the other side of that, where, you know, I always wanted to do these raids, these cool, and I'd see these people in, like, the warlock armor that you get from the raid for the Taken King. That was the one that I wanted the most. But I never had anybody to do it with. I mean, Brett was willing to help me, but there was only like the two of us at the time, and so it was hard to get a group big enough together, because it was before Brett was super famous.
You know how I am nowadays.
so now it's easy to get a group together, and I love that. I love that, you know, there is that option now of we can get a group together and we can do the raid and I can participate in those things that in D1 I was like, I want to do this so bad.
Yeah.
And that's super fresh on the mind because Russell actually just got his first Kallus kill last night.
Oh, my wow,
first
really?
Raid completion in the Destiny franchise.
Period. Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it was a cool experience.
Super exciting.
We've been working at it slowly with different people and stuff, and it's just we'd get pretty far in the raid and it's just certain things weren't clicking. And so we'd break and then try again and break and then try again. And then the last couple weeks we had Sin from Destiny Addicts podcast and then McKingsley from Hoot Dog were both like, oh my God, we want to make sure this happens for these guys. And so they immediately dove in that same thing with the community. I didn't ask them to. They were just like, all right, we're putting a group together and you're grabbing your guys and we're going and we're getting in that clear. And I was like, oh, sweet, let's go.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
Really cool. Well, let's go ahead and dive into some of this this patch content that we just got last Tuesday.
Yeah.
That we just got a week and a half ago. Man, where do we even begin with all this? I'm thinking
it's a very good place to start.
When you read, you begin with ABC.
When you sing, you begin with Do Re Mi.
Do Re Mi.
Do Re Mi.
Well, since you do, let's start with PvE stuff. Since we just did the raid last night, and then you've been doing all the Nightfall carries and stuff. Like, how are you feeling, weapons, abilities, and everything PvE wise?
PvE wise, it's really good. I think everybody uses Nameless Midnight. Everybody knows what its role is and where it fits in the game. It's your de facto like damage dealer, and you know, you see an orange bar, let's pull out Nameless Midnight, get behind cover and take care of it. Your typical orange bar now dies a couple seconds earlier, faster than what it used to. And just the damage buff overall to everything. The fact that everything was buffed one is a win in my book, but the fact that it's helping all of us, oh man. Nightfalls have never been easier, quite honestly, because I don't have to spend 3 clips trying to take down an orange bar phalanx. Maybe 1.5.
It feels good.
It feels so really good.
I did a prestige nightfall for the first time in D2 last week, and I didn't know they'd set it to prestige, and we finished it, and we're like, man, that was easy. I was like, all right, let's do it on prestige. They're like, we did. I was like, what? Oh, okay, cool. Like, hey, we did it. Look at us. I've got an aura. Go me.
It just feels so unlocked. I don't know. I don't want to say like we were in chains or whatever with our weapons, but everything felt like a slog. Like you're running through molasses. You have to shoot down 3 walls before you could actually do damage to the main, whatever the main thing is you were trying to do damage to. And a lot of that has been just taken away. Now you're dealing damage and you feel like you're making meaningful progress. I love it. From the PvE side, I absolutely love it. Especially when it comes to linear fusion rifles.
Yeah, I don't that's think, straight I got, up 50%. Ugh.
Yeah, I picked up linears when the game first came out. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. This is awesome. I was never really a fan of Queenbreaker's bow in Destiny 1. But I really, really, really liked them in D2. Just the way they sounded, the way they looked, you know, the way they acted. But they sucked. It wasn't useful at all. And if you ever got into a group and you were using a linear fusion rifle for like raid content or anything like that, or PvP, make people just laugh at you, and you might as well have just stopped right then and there. And now a linear fusion rifle takes 1 to 2 shots to take down a shielded orange bar.
Yeah. Oh, it's nuts. I'm seeing so many people instead use of a it whole in clip. Every kind of content. PvP also. I saw, who was that? Lego from Rezocast won like 19. He did 24 Rumble matches in a row and won 19 of them. And he just had power ammo the entire time and used a linear fusion rifle and just boom, boom, boom the whole game.
Oh yeah, that power ammo change.
Nuts. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second for sure. I have a feeling PvP is going to be a fun one for us. But well, and the big thing for me is how quick you get your super now. Like before, there were certain moments in a strike or certain moments in the raid that you saved your super for, and now with Masterworks and then the super change, like I'm like, eh, I'll just use it whenever I have it and just kill stuff. It's so fun.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's
Yeah,
part of just
I
feeling
don't think I've
powerful.
ever popped. Yeah, I don't think I've ever popped my super more than after the update. I know it's like what, a 30% reduction on cooldown. So,
It was
in.
like a minute 40 seconds off just the base cooldown without any modifiers from you.
Yeah, and it makes the strike feel better. It makes you feel stronger. I mean, the whole Masterworks and making orbs on multi-kills, that was a step in the right direction.
Oh,
And
huge
quite
step.
frankly, I'm really surprised they let us have our supers as fast as we do now because of Masterworks. Masterworks were meant to sort of like engage your entire fire team and help you get your supers back faster. And yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do,
They
and I
do for
love it.
sure.
They do big time.
And that
I
and what
noticed
and
in a
that's another part that
raid.
makes the Nightfall super easy too, is just like, well, every group of ads, someone's got a super to use on them.
Yeah, it's like you plan out when to use your supers, and then you just chain them, and you get enough super energy back on kills and through orbs now, whether it be Masterwork orbs or just orbs from other super kills, that you don't have to worry. You don't have to hold it for that perfect moment. You can just go and just use it.
Right.
Just go and enjoy your class. Like, oh, that's what we've been wanting. Oh, it's
Yeah.
so good.
During the ad clear part of the raid, when you're unlocking the doors, I mean, I'd get my super two or three times,
Oh,
because
every single time, yeah.
everybody had a masterwork, and so I'd throw out, and then by the time we were almost done, I'd have another super that I'd throw out, kill a few more dudes, and you're right, it makes you feel more powerful, it makes you feel like a hero, you know what I mean? Which is, I think, one of the main purposes. One of the things that people love most about video games is feeling powerful. Feeling like you could take on armies, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so being able to do that in Destiny, I mean, more so than you were before, because it does make you feel powerful, but now you feel like a threat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it
And
feels good.
I really like that we were weak and basically almost one shot all the time in the story. Like in the campaign
Yeah.
where it made
Oh,
sense, where
yes.
we didn't like we it was tough starting off 'cause we didn't have any powers and we were basically left to die.
Right.
And I like that through the story you got a little bit of your power back, but I really think that feeling of helplessness or that feeling of I'm not that strong anymore should have been left completely in the campaign. And once you
Yeah,
were
I
done
could
with
see
it,
that.
you were back to your, normal badass self
Oh no, for
of
sure. Like
supering everything and
I've always said that we got our supers, like our power back way too soon in the campaign. Like, can you imagine
yeah.
how much more meaningful that'd have been if like you beat Gaul just as a regular dude again?
That would have been really nice.
And then you could just
I
turn around and
I
be like,
don't
see,
think that.
I'm amazing. I don't need this, but I'm going to anyway.
See, I would not have enjoyed it as much because you wouldn't have felt powerful until end game, which I guess would be okay, but I like that I got it back. I got my light back because you were the only guardian. The reason that I liked it is you're the only guardian with their light back now. And so you felt, in the campaign, like you were the one guardian. They always talked about it the way they did everything. It made it feel like you're pivotal, you're important, and I think that that's an important thing in an MMO, because in an MMO, you're part of an entire world of people who are accomplishing the same goals, but the campaign makes you feel like You are an individual. You are a powerful individual that they need instead of just part of a group like you were in D1. You know what I mean? You were one of many in the new campaign. You were one.
Yeah, I could see that.
I see that.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess leveling up, like, when you have to do, like, those three levels where you did public events, that would suck without light. But that would have made that fight so much more meaningful if you're like, all right, I cannot get my light back until I kick this guy's ass. Like, that would have made that whole rush, like, super meaningful.
They did have the pull of, unless you take this guy, he is going to take the light from everyone.
I mean, I have it, so, like, whatever.
Well, yeah, you have it, but for how long once the Traveler is in prison, you know what I mean? But more so than he already was.
Yeah, I'll figure that out. Well, anything else, just straight up PvE we want to go over?
Oh, well,
yeah, I'm still mad about my origin story.
Feels bad. It doesn't even feel that different. Like, honestly.
It does only because I've used Origin Story almost exclusively. I mean, I loved Origin Story. It was the most amazing thing. I got to the point to where I was surgical with Origin Story, being able to pick somebody off from a lot further than you would think that I would be able to. And I love that surprise factor, because a lot of people would be coming and then, I mean, this is kind of edging into PvP, but being able to pick people off from a distance with an auto rifle, which is very unexpected, it felt good, which I have noticed a difference. It does like the handling, so they've moved the handling down a little bit, so it doesn't shoot as straight as it did, because I had a handling masterwork, the plus 10 to handling, and then plus origin story already has a better handling than most other auto rifles. And it would almost shoot exactly straight. Now it jerks a lot more. But again, I'm not as accurate as I would be at a distance.
And that's okay for Autorai. Like, we've had that talk before. Like,
no, it's not.
It is.
All it's right, not okay.
Listen, I'm just kidding.
You listen.
The in-air speed, like bringing back Warlock Skating, Titan Skating to a point, makes PvE... like when you're going around on Mercury or you're in the Leviathan out in the Castellum and you can't pull out your Sparrow, it felt really, really crappy when you couldn't skate around. You just had to run. Because Warlock Jump previously would, whenever you tapped it, you'd basically stop in midair and then kind of hover a little bit.
Right.
Now it's back to, you know, D1 standards where you boost on your jump and you're being propelled forward. Not limited to just Mercury Patrol, but in the Nightfall, it really, really helps. It really helps. Even though the timer doesn't matter anymore, like if you don't finish on time, you're done. You just lose more points now. But it helps you get those higher scores and finish faster and just be done with it.
Yeah, I've been loving, especially like... a bunch of changes to jumping and stuff, like even in the gauntlet in the raid, or just moving around the Castellum and everything, like, or just even in the Crucible, just moving in I'm jumping way more than I used to jump. Like, I'm back to where in D1 you never sprinted. Like, you're always like, jump, land.
Yep.
And it feels so good to be doing that again.
That's true. I have noticed that. I didn't know that it was specifically something part of the patch. But I do remember during the raid, because I still have those kind of twitch reflexes from D1 where it's like, oh, I need to jump. And then as a warlock, I'd be stuck in the middle of the air and I'm like, this is a bad place for me to be.
Right. I guess I'll be up here for a while now.
Yeah. But having that skate ability is very beneficial, especially for a Dawnblade where they have that ability to be able to aim as they're in the air. You know, before you're just kind of straight up and you got not a lot of boost and it was kind of a useless perk. Now it's a lot more viable.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Dawnblade is scary now. So did you guys see that video of the race between the Dawnblade and Super and the Sparrow?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
A Dawnblade in Super doing the postal jump or whatever it's called. where they just fly across the map, they actually move quicker than a sparrow.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah, it's so fast. The guy like finishes the race, he's like, yeah, then slams into the wall and dies because he's going so fast. that's your go fast update right there.
The biggest thing for the go fast update was the weapons, and that has made PvE feel better.
Oh yeah, I think
I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, I don't think if they'd added the Nightfall loot and then didn't have all of these like sandbox changes, I wouldn't have probably ran the Nightfall as much as I did last week. Because having those two together just made it so good.
You know, but before there was literally no reason to do it besides just boosting your legendary shards.
Exactly.
Or the counter on your Nightfall emblem. That was about it.
Well, and even then, like, just knowing I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do damage to anything. I'm going to die a million times. I got to save my super for just the boss. And now it's like, let's just go through and kill everything and try new weapons. And that's a big thing. I've been trying a lot of weapons. That luckily, I put them in my vault that I'm running out of space in. But I've been just testing guns left and right in the Crucible, in Strikes, in the Nightfall, in the Raid. I was switching guns around left and right. I hated submachine guns before this patch went live. I've actually masterworked two submachine guns since the patch went live because I'm in love with them now. Like, awesome. Oh, it just feels so good to have guns used again. Shotguns and snipers are being used a lot more in both PvE and PvP.
It has increased the variety of weapons that you see instead of just everybody having an auto rifle.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that, even though I'm reluctant to say that.
But... Yeah, I mean, the 450 autos are still really, really good. Mm-hmm. Really good. And, I mean, Antiope is still really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like that they brought things forward to kind of match those weapons.
Yeah,
from their respective... Sure. Archetypes instead of just bringing shit down.
Yeah, I like that they've taken that, and they've said they're taking that standpoint now, where instead of going, this is too powerful, nerf the hell out of it, like, bring everything to that level so we just keep getting better and better and better, instead of going, well, that was fun, but now it sucks again, you know.
Yeah, just keep the fun going forward. Idea.
Yeah. Yeah, too many people do it the opposite way, and it's just, after a while, it just eats at you. So I'm super excited to see, especially with like how Vigilance Wing is running now, and then we're going to have the exotic tuning coming up with what they're going to do to everyone else, and hopefully we get another pass of just the legendary guns and they'll be even better again, and we just keep getting more and more powerful.
Yep, I'm really excited. I know a lot of people, I'm trying to get other people excited too with things that have been mentioned, things that are being done, and I always get hit with the, yeah, Bungie, they're listening, right? Mm-hmm. Bungie's listening. Okay. Whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I get hit.
A lot of people are burned. A lot of people are burned and just don't want to come back. I have more people on Destiny 1 some days than I see on Destiny 2.
Well, and I mean, here. Go ahead.
No, I'm good.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think, you know, speaking to the negativity, I think people were expecting more than was delivered. And I understand that. But I still think that Destiny 2 is a good game. Like, I love playing it. I'm on it at least once a week. You know, usually as a group thing. But I do enjoy playing it when I play it. You know, even though some promises weren't necessarily delivered on, and a lot of people felt like it should be better, it is still a good game. It's by no means bad.
Well, and the big thing with the update is, like, the people that came out and were like, well, this didn't have blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, nowhere did they say that was happening. I saw so many people salty about certain things that they thought were being put in this patch that didn't. And I'm like, well, none of that was ever said that was happening. So, like, why are you mad about that?
Or the age-old discussion. They've got to be mad
about something.
Yes. The age-old discussion about, wait, you boosted movement speed. It's called go fast, but sprinting isn't any faster at all. But, like, the whole mobility thing has never affected your sprinting at all.
Right.
And also, fun fact, our sprint speed is actually the exact same as it was in D1, so you can throw that argument out the window, people.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been cracking me up, people doing that. I'm like, no, like, a lot of people that are, there are people that follow it and are negative for sure. But there are quite a few people that I've personally talked to as well that have been like, oh yeah, Bungie's listening, blah, blah, I've heard that before. And like, are you not actually paying attention? Because like, it's actually happening and stuff's changing. So like, it's okay.
It feels like some people are in autopilot mode and it's the cool thing to hate Destiny again.
Oh, and that's the big thing. Is that's exactly it. It's just the end thing to the, and that's not just for Destiny. Like, in gaming general, like a new game will come out and like, everyone just wants to shit on it. Like, that's just the first thing you're supposed to do. It's movie critics, art critics, the same thing. You're not a good critic unless you think everything is terrible. Well, that guy's positive. He must have terrible taste. Oh, this is absolutely awful. Oh, I must listen to everything that guy says because he knows what he's talking about.
Well, you know, it was that way with movies for a long time. You know, where critics, they kind of had this, you know, oh, well, it's no Citizen Kane. Have you ever tried to watch Citizen Kane? Citizen Kane is boring. I mean, I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for that, but I do think it's boring. It probably has lots of good things about it, but it's boring. But, you know, and it was that thing where, you know, the people who actually knew movies, oh, I can't believe you like that movie because if you really knew movies, you know, whatever. And I feel like it started to move that way into games. You know, you have these people who feel that they need to bring a certain level of snobbishness to video games. You know, and I disagree with that. I think, you know, there are certain things. I mean, you do want a story, you do want things. But if a game makes you feel cool while you're playing it, then I think the game has accomplished its job.
Yep.
Wait, are you saying if you're just having fun, you should enjoy it? What?
I am saying that.
That's crazy.
It's a novel concept.
Video games are supposed to be fun. You heard it here first, folks.
That's weird. I never heard of that one before.
Yeah, you're literally on your own there. Sorry, bud. Feels bad. Sorry. Oh my god. Well, should we dive into a very fun segment here? We're going to start talking about PvP after the patch. And I'm sure we all have varying, very, very varying points of view on said subject. Who wants to go first? All right. I'll go first. I think that was pretty telling how this is going to go.
Who wants to shit on everybody else's ideas first?
All right. Well, here I go, Mr. Positivity, because I've been having so much fun in the Crucible since the patch. I know not everyone feels that way, but I have loved basically every change that has happened. I feel fast. I'm very mobile. I'm jumping everywhere. Guns feel good. I have just enough power ammo, and I think it'd be a problem if they did these Crucible changes and the patch didn't happen, because getting killed by a rocket every half second would suck. But getting sniped feels okay, because I'm terrible at sniping. And so I'm like, good for you, dude. That gives me hope to try again. I guess I'll quit this once more. And then I honestly was worried about trials and competitive with no radar. And dear God, I have found a play style that I didn't know was within me. And I've been loving it. It is so much fun to just be insanely aggressive. I'm not near my team, and other people aren't, and you're just sprinting around the map, punching each other and shooting each other down with SMGs, and you don't know who's around the next corner. It's super exciting. I actually got my first trials win this last weekend with the no radar trials. So if that's telling, you know, maybe that means that good sucky players are good now. I don't know what to tell you, but I finally did it, and I had a great time doing it. But I have been absolutely loving the Crucible.
I love spooky trials when it was around in Destiny 1, and I love the Inferno game mode. So I think that not necessarily bringing those modes back to D2 is great. I think the way that they have done it is really, really nice, though. competitive game modes should revolve around communication, and not so much just radar awareness and then who can get the first shot on somebody else. That's not competitive. Competitive should require teamwork and require a good amount of effort to get a win. So I love the whole no radar thing. And as a blinking warlock, I mean, I'm kind of used to it already.
That's true.
Not having a radar. And I think everybody is actually pretty used to it because of Gemini Jester and Night Stalkers.
Right.
Because most of the time you didn't have a radar anyway.
And it is, I mean, it is sweaty. It's competitive now. Like, I was with a group of friends and we did it like three or four of them in a row. And like at the end of it, we're like, all right, our hands are shaking. We're like, we have to stop. Like, this is too much. Like, my heart's going to come out of my chest. We got to go back to quick play. This is, oh God, it's so intense. It was so fun to have that feeling instead of just going, well, I'll do competitive, but it'll just be longer match times. And that's the only difference. I'm just going to be in here for 15 minutes instead of 10.
Yeah.
Russell.
How
have you been enjoying
it? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was literally going to segue you in.
Oh, well, I just took it upon myself. So.
Go segue yourself.
There. Yeah, I will segue myself. Why is a Segway called a Segway, by the way? Like, I don't get it.
Whoever designed them for mall cops, I think, figured that it worked out now well to like move you in from one thing to another.
You mean the topical
discussion version of? I have no idea why.
No. Why? No, I was talking about the motor. I was actually talking about the motorized scooter. So I'm glad you picked up on that.
I got what you laying down, brother.
Like, I just don't get it. I don't understand why it would be. Anyway, totally beside the point. I've enjoyed it. The first time that I've really played it since the newest patch is last night with you, Brett. It's a thing to adjust to because I'm used to the radar because I was in PvP most of the time. That was just what I played a lot of. I put it in and played some PvP. And so I developed those twitch reflexes to when I see that little red slash on my radar, I'd be like, oh, quick turn, you know. And so it's an adjustment. I like that they have the balance. So in quick play, you have a radar if that's something that you want. In competitive, you don't, and it forces you to work more as a team. It's pushing competitive towards more what it is supposed to be, where you go in there with a team, you know, a group of people that you're in a party chat with, that you communicate with, so that you can indicate, you know, where you're going, what you're doing, and you have to communicate because there's no radar. I played Mayhem mode, and that was ridiculous. Ridiculously fun, though. It was intense. Like, and Hunter Night Stalkers, you guys suck. I'm saying it right here, right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
no disagreement.
Are all a bunch of a-holes because I'd get my super and then you pull me out of it. And I'm like, what? I didn't know that it did that.
Sorry, your parents didn't love you as a child, but some of us want to have fun.
Seriously. Yeah. Why you got to be a dick about it?
See, I don't have a problem like with the being suppressed by a nade from a defender or anything like that. I have a huge problem, though, with Night Stalkers, and I guess just Hunters in general, when it comes to PvP.
Speaking to my heart.
Night Stalkers, running into a 4-stack of any Hunters at all in Mayhem, you're just not going to have a good time.
That just seems ridiculous. Yeah.
It's not. I mean, they're well-suited and probably best-suited for Mayhem. With what their supers have to offer, especially with Arcstrider's buffs. Wow.
Yeah.
Does that class move fast?
Yeah. Before the patch, that was like one of the few like subclasses where I'd see the screen say, someone used Arcstrider. I'd be like, I'll be all right. And now you're like, dear God, it's not worth it. Run, family, run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I've got to say, the Arcstrider is my favorite super. but I don't use hunters anymore because the warlocks just and I haven't tried a titan yet, but the warlocks just have the healing rift is way too powerful to pass up, and the shield wall way too powerful to pass up. What do hunters get? A dodge.
See, I think the dodge is probably the best class ability in the game.
Really?
Yeah. I know. Why? it doesn't help your team out at all. I understand that, but the fundamental purpose of a hunter is to kind of like bait and switch and tease like the opponents and get them into a sort of not tilted state, but a chasey state.
Yeah.
And so what a Night Stalker has or had was the only ability in the game that was a Twilight Garrison that was useful. Now Warlocks had their air dodge, but it's on a non-PvP setting of their skill tree, and Dawnblade was absolutely never used at all before this update.
Mm-hmm.
True.
But Night Stalkers could instantly get behind cover. Well, hunters could instantly get behind cover.
Mm-hmm.
Night Stalkers could instantly get behind cover, instantly reload their weapon when they did it, and on top of it, they could go invisible. And if they were set up correctly, which all of them were, they would take your radar away and ping you for a point of damage. Is too much.
Well, that's true, but only for the Night Stalker. I mean, if you're using Arc Strider, you don't have those kinds of abilities.
Well, what would you... You say before the update, how many non-Night Stalkers did you see in PvP?
Just me.
Okay. I think people really underestimate the power of having your weapon instantly reloaded mixed in with an evade ability.
Well, that's true, but I would always die mid-evade. Like, I would hit it, and they would kill me as soon as I tried to evade. Now, I don't know. Maybe I was just using it wrong.
Well, but with that point, though, and how many times have you died mid-animation doing your healing rift, or how many times have I died mid-animation putting up my shield wall? It's the same thing.
Not very often. Usually after I'm putting my healing rift down. But that's because it's a last ditch. I'm dying. I'm going to throw my healing rift down.
Right. And I think a lot of people treated the hunter evade kind of like as that.
That's probably true. Yeah, that is true. That because that's what I use it as. It is the last ditch. I'm getting out of here, you know. But I guess you're right. It's more of, you know, you're baiting. I had never used it in that way. You go out there to bait somebody in and lead them into an ambush or whatever. You know, you're trying to delay or stall or play. You know, you're the distraction, you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
As opposed to what I was trying to play it as, you know. I guess that makes
the distraction,
sense.
The flank, the one that everybody knew you were there, but they couldn't see you until it was too late, type of deal.
Right.
I truly, honestly felt that was the hunter's role, whereas the titan's role was aggressive, and the warlock's role was more kind of supportive. I know people play them outside of those roles. I see plenty of aggressive warlocks and hunters and titans too, but warlocks were the nice fallback point where if you got hurt, you could fall back to the warlock rift. And the titan was the nice, just let's wall off this choke point and force them into another area where maybe the hunter was waiting in a warlock rift. And like, because there were so many times where I would be firing with my annual, and I would run out of bullets, and I just missed too many, and they were a sliver of health. Well, I could shade step behind cover, be invisible, have my weapon instantly reloaded, and then peek right back out and take them out, because I had a full mag.
Right.
It got me out of their line of sight, it got my weapon completely reloaded, and it got me back into a position where I could take them down. All the while, they're thinking, oh, he's running away.
That's a good point. And I guess... Go ahead.
It was a tactic that I don't think was used or is being used the way that Bungie thought it was going to be used.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But I think at this point it's way too far into the game for it to have any sort of change. But that's just me thinking that evade ability was misplaced in the skill tree, or even
it's a very like high risk, high reward kind of deal for sure. In comparison
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
If you were good with it, it was the most annoying thing on the planet.
Yep, and it was also really good to help mitigate the movement or the lack of movement that you had in Crucible. Now, this is all in Crucible that I say this about the Hunters. Because mm-hmm. in PvE, yeah, they really don't have much that helps anybody out at all.
Right. They were definitely stronger in PvP than PvE. And I noticed that playing a Hunter. As a Hunter going into the Crucible, I felt good. Now, I haven't played a Hunter in PvP since the update where they've increased the mobility, or what the mobility does for you. I'm excited to try that out because, I mean, that'd just be fun. But, yeah, I can see where you're coming from, and that definitely makes sense.
Yeah, I think at the moment, mobility really only affects your strafe and your walking speed, right?
Your walking, yeah. If you get that all the way up, though, that strafe is so fast, especially on a Hunter. It's nuts.
Yeah, it is. It is insane.
I've seen, and I've been, like, ADSing on, like, a Hunter, and, like, you blink, and all of a sudden they're, like, four steps to the right. You're like, wait, whoa, how'd you get over there? This guy's yeah. glitching. Oh, wait, no, he's just high mobility. We're good.
It does seem like they're glitching out sometimes. They're moving so darn fast. It's like Arkstrider when you swear you hit them when they're dodging around in their super. I mean, the bolts go straight through them. Arkstrider's so good now mm-hmm. that it's insane. You'd mentioned something about the radar before, that you kind of forsake it when it came to competitive, like you learned to play without it. I had to do that actually at the very beginning of Destiny 2, because they changed it so much from Destiny 1 mm-hmm. that I was psyching myself out, because the radar used to change its coloring. It would be like opaque or less opaque depending on what level the enemy was in relation to you. If they were higher mm-hmm. or lower than you in Destiny 1, it was like a faded red. If they were on the same level of same level as you, it was a fully shaded in red color. And now it's always like the dull color. It doesn't change if someone's above you or below you at all. And it works from really far out.
Oh my god, yeah. That's what messes me up the most, is I'll be like psyched out. I'm like, alright, someone's coming. I'm gonna get ready. Any moment, they're gonna come. Alright,
yeah.
They're on their way.
They're coming. They're coming. Right.
And
they're coming.
Oh, never mind. Never mind. They're dead. And they're way across the map.
Like, I'll waste a nade is for like some preemptive damage to start gunfight, because I'm so used to the D1 radar where, you know, they're a lot closer than what you think, but in the D2 radar I don't want to say they're across the map, but they're much further out than what the radar shows.
Oh yeah.
And in terms of that, I really like in competitive that they took it away, but there's no way to circumvent that rule anymore in Crucible. Mida is not going to give you a radar. Knucklehead radar is not going to give it to you. You used to be able to, when you had your radar taken away with Jesters before the update, you could ADS with Mida, and you could still you would have your radar back. As like a small little neat tip or trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not the case anymore. There is no way to get a radar in comp, and I love it.
Yeah. Same boat. Oh my god, it makes me so happy. Everyone's on the same playing field. It's just how good you are at talking with your team, and then how good your reflexes are.
Yep.
I had a guy, we went in there a few days ago. I was in a party with some friends, and he came in, he was someone else's friend, and we wound up crucibling for the next like 3 hours together. It was super fun. But he wasn't sure how he felt about the changes, and he wasn't sure how he felt about the changes, and so we're like, all right, well, let's just take you in there so you can see it. And like, it clicked for him. Like, he did one round and he was like, all right guys, this is me. And then you'd get in the next round and he'd be silent, and then the round would end and he'd be on top of the list by like a mile, and then all of a sudden his microphone would come back on, he's like panting all heavy. That was so much fun. Like, yes. It was so fun just listening for it to click in for him. It was so cool.
Well, I like that it, because before you had to move in a team all the time because you couldn't flank somebody because they'd know that you were coming and then they would kill you immediately. You could a little bit, but not a lot. And so I like that that kind of opens that competitive, you know, you can flank somebody, they won't know you're there until hopefully they're dead, you know.
What did you guys think about the power ammo changes? I keep wanting to call it heavy because the...
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
That's when I just finally got in, like, into the groove of, like, maybe last week finally calling it power. Because it's there all the time. It's so much fun. And only, again, because the weapon changes happened. If this, like, power weapon change happened and everyone was still just using rockets, it would be awful. But having, like, different kinds of shotguns, fusion rifles, sniper rifles out there, like, it doesn't feel horrible to have all of that. Oh, yeah, no, Colony doesn't feel good. Thank you, Stealth Vixen. Yeah. Colony does not feel good. You are right, sir. But
I finally got that exotic the other day, and I was like, finally, I can get back all those stupid mother truckers who killed us.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, I feel for Stealth. She's got a really good point about Colony, and it's really destructive, almost not toxic and not destructive of gameplay, but it almost breaks down fundamentally gunfights.
It's scary as hell, that's for sure. You're like, oh, yep, died from a colony.
And I kind of like that when you kill somebody with power ammo, you can go and pick it up, or anybody in your team can go and pick it up.
Yes.
Why kinda? I'm waiting for that part.
Why can't everybody just get the power ammo? You know, that was a part of PvP. It was grouping up at the power, at the heavy, so everybody could get it. Like, make sure you're by heavy when it comes up, because we're pulling it, and we're going to go. And then it was like one major clash until all the heavy was gone. Unless you had that one guy crouched in the corner waiting for everybody to blow themselves up so he could run around with his heavy machine gun for the rest of the match.
Right.
In fact, they did away with that, the heavy ammo blocks dropping from people because of large machine guns early in D1. I think it was like around House of Wolves time or just before that that power ammo or heavy ammo bricks didn't drop anymore when you killed somebody with heavy ammo.
Right.
And... I just think it's a band-aid on the problem because everybody wants time to kill to be faster. So they're like, hey, everybody can have power ammo. Or if you kill somebody with power ammo, you can collect theirs.
You can't have a quicker time to kill than everyone getting one-shotted.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody gets power ammo, so everybody has rockets. I mean, it's nice to see snipers and shotguns running around, but let's be honest, I only ever see Acrius and Colony. And if they're using Vigilance Wing, then they're using a rocket. I hardly ever see any snipers. The one or two times I do see it, but I hardly ever see snipers. And it's just because there's no reason to use a sniper in a power slot.
Unless it's Nightfall 1, because it's really good in Crucible. It's really good. Seriously, it's so good.
If I can get headshots with the Nightfall 1 and Crucible, then yes, it is so... really, really good.
It is so good. No, but no, I agree with Stealth Fixin' here 100%. Power ammo didn't help TTK. But thank you for that segue, by the way. In This Week at Bungie, what? They touch on that slightly. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but... This Week at Bungie for April 5th, 2018. They just talked about the... they had that... hold on. I got a sneeze and it didn't happen. And that I hate when that happens. I wanted to sneeze so bad. So on PC only, they had the... I did. Oh, my goodness. They had the Crucible Bounty. They just had stats on that. We're on PS4, so we don't care about that. Good for you guys. They found some matches, apparently, on PC. Good job. But so during the bounty, they had a live Q&A going on. or in between matches and stuff. But so where's this top one? The first one actually covers, in regards to Time to Kill, it's a pretty popular opinion with the community that the TTK should be decreased. Do you have any plans on looking into this issue further? The sandbox update was called the Go Fast update. Will the next one be called Kill Fast? Thanks for listening. So they basically cover in here that the big thing they're pushing for is for the exotic update. When the expansion launches, they're doing all the exotic tuning and all that stuff. And so to make them exotics feel more exotic. And then basically from there, bring everything up to that level again. So yes, in the future, we are going to have actual gunplay quicker TTKs instead of just everyone has a shotgun or a rocket. So that is something that will happen at some point.
I like that, but that's only exotics. Like, I have plenty of legendaries and blues that I want to be able to triple tap somebody with a hand cannon and feel good about it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to be able to get the flank on somebody and start a gunfight when there's two or three of them there and be able to actually take one of them down before I get team shot by the rest of them before I die, you know?
Right.
It's that those moments where if you're not team shotting, you're losing out.
Mm-hmm.
And that mentality, I just hate it so much.
Well, in literally the next question they ask, basically, it's said as Vigilance Wing, but they're basically answering it as exotics. Where they understand that Vigilance Wing is like crazy right now, and so that's where they're saying their new outlook, where it's not just this is super powerful, destroy it. They said we should be adjusting more weapons up to a level where they can compete. So I'm hoping that's not just exotics, that they're gonna go from that level and bring legendaries up alongside with it as well. Or else, yeah, like what you're saying is going to be awful.
In their words, yeah, I really, really hope that the way he worded it, it sounds like it's not just exotics that are going to be brought up. And I really, really hope that's the case. Because I want my exotics to feel exotic. And I want them to be wild and out of this world, like Colony is. I mean, the Colony's a really fun gun to use.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't want to have my exotic out the entire time and feel like I'm only going to win a gunfight if I have my exotic out and I'm using that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really hoping that everything comes along with it. What exotics are you guys? What are your dream exotics for the update? That it's going to be really good after the update and that's what you want to use.
I really love Graviton Lance, dude. I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I want that to be... It's already pretty good after just the regular pulse rifle update, but I can't wait for that rework, and it's going to be solid. And I hope someday Hardlight is actually good, because that was my favorite gun to use in D1.
So Cosmo actually mentioned something about Hardlight, that it's going to get the same treatment that Borealis has, where you just hold the reload button and change its element. Ooh, it's on a Reddit thread
that would be awesome.
But... Yeah, that's a part of the utility of that gun, right? Mm-hmm. That's being able to switch it back and forth and, you know, no damage drop off and it bounces off of walls and things. But
yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, right now, it's hard to use.
It has no handling, it feels like. It just jerks all over the place for me, and I just couldn't get used to that. That's why I didn't use it mostly. The one that I kind of I like using Crimson, because I loved, what is it, Crimson Death? Is that what it was called?
Red Death.
Red Death in D1. That was one of my favorite exotics. Just the ability to, on a kill, you heal, and Crimson is basically a hand cannon reinstitution of that. I mean, it even has the three pulses, you know. Except I think Red Death reloaded some into the chamber like Crimson does. I'm not positive. I don't know. It's been a while since I've used it. But I was hoping it would be better when they modified hand cannons and stuff like that. It's not quite where I want it to be. It's good, but it's not as good as like Red Death was. And so I hope that they modify that a little bit, maybe buff its damage or something, because it, oh man, Red Death was amazing.
Oh, absolutely,
just, it was.
You know, that Crimson is like, it's like, okay, you guys loved Red Death, here's a lesser version of it.
In theory, it's awesome, you know? And it looks awesome, and it sounds amazing, but yeah, it is difficult to use.
It really is. I still use it because I like the healing ability that it gives me, especially associated with my Voidwalker Warlock, which has healing out the wazoo, and allows me to be super aggressive and stay in a fight pretty well. That just adds another level off of it that I really enjoy. But, I mean, I would never use it in PvP, because it's not good enough for me to use in PvP.
No, the funny thing with that gun, actually, is I hadn't touched it in so long that I got, I think it was a couple weeks ago, someone killed me with it, and I was like, what the hell gun is that? I, like, actually went and looked it up, and I was like, oh, I forgot that was a thing.
Man, yeah. I really hope Skyburner's Oath becomes something after this exotic tuning.
Oh my God, yes.
Ooh. You know, and I like Skyburner's Oath, especially against a whole bunch of Cabal. That thing is insane.
See, I never really noticed the damage difference, and I want to notice the damage difference that, you know, it's supposed to give you against Cabal.
Well, the main thing it's supposed to, it does a damage difference against shielded Cabal. That's where it does its damage. But it's not like a huge difference, you know, where it should be, like, because that's how it's worded.
I kind of want that. I want that to be like the Boolean Gemini from Taken King. That was the exotic that you got, and you used it for quite a while because it was so good against... It did so many different things, and it was so good to use against the Taken and just in the raid. I want Skyburner's Oath to be like that. Because it seems like it's just the gun that you got to really stick it back to the Cabal.
Oh, because it's exactly what they use.
Yep.
Yeah, and I want that fantasy as well, for sure.
I want them to bring back Thorn, but like as a scout rifle. Maybe a pulse rifle. That would be awesome.
Well, they did say they're going to start bringing back more exotics from D1, so hopefully we start getting some of those ones.
Did you see that post today from Hamrick and Chris Barrett?
I did.
So, was it Hamrick or was it somebody else?
It was
Hamrick. Mentioned it. It was Hamrick? Mm-hmm. So Hamrick put out a poll on Twitter and prefaced it with... this is not official, and this is not... Don't look too deep into this. And he's like, what would you rather see? Old exotics brought forward into D2? A mix of old exotics and new exotics? Or just straight new exotics? And almost overwhelmingly, everybody was like, a mix of the two.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Because... I mean, Hawkmoon and Thorn and Last Word and, you know, Red Death itself. Oh, would be just fantastic.
Buster Knuckle in chat brings up Bad Juju. Yeah, that would, oh my God. That was a fun one.
Yeah,
Bad Juju was not one that I ever had, but it was one that I wanted really bad.
Bringing back Bad Juju would solve the not getting your super fast enough issue, huh? Or Zalo Supercell?
But yeah, no, Hawkmoon.
Bad Juju was the one that
stacked.
Good. It stacked damage, right? That's the one.
Juju?
Remind me what Bad Juju did. I know that it was an auto rifle, correct?
Yep. No. It was a pulse rifle, and it was full auto. Okay. And every kill you got gave you more super energy back, and every kill refilled the magazine.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
So oh, that's right, because it was one of those that you would not run out of. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
If you were good with it were like invincible. You were a god.
And it was pretty decent in PvP. It wasn't like low tier. It was like mid. It was no it was no Thorn or what was, I don't know, a Clever Dragon, but it was pretty decent.
Yeah, right. I'm just going to clear through in the interest of time here. We're just going to power through here real quick. Like a nightfall with the updated weapons. Be my friend, please. So we're going to hear more about the next expansion in the next month. They're going to do some live streams and talk about it. So we can look forward to that. I'm not going to read everything here, but if you haven't checked out This Week at Bungie for March 5th, I'd go, because they post the entire, like, every question and answer they did on the live stream, and there's some good information there. So I'm not going to go through it all, but you should go read it, because it's good.
I'm probably not going to.
I know, probably not, but you should. They touch base on the weekly Crucible playlist, and they understand that people really enjoy each playlist that's come up, and they want it full-time, but the main reason it's the way it is, so that if there's something broken, like they decide 8 people in Rumble was terrible, that they can fix that before it comes up again next time. So we got that explanation. As a reminder, this next coming week, we have the next Iron Banner, which is the 6v6 Iron Banner with the new control changes.
It's going to be a cluster.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. It doesn't look like we're getting any new weapons.
It's going to be fun.
So they have it's a new picture of all the weapons, which is a nice animation, but they're all the same we've had. So we're not getting anything new. I'm just going to keep trying to get my chest armor or my chest armor ornament. And probably not get it, but I like Iron Banner. I just love the Crucible, so I'll probably still play it, but there's not, like, anything huge for me since there's nothing new. But it'll be interesting to see. The biggest thing for me for this Iron Banner is everyone that's been, you know, 6v6 needs to be a thing, or these maps are too small. Like, we'll be able to see how it actually works. We'll actually either we'll have a winner and a loser for that debate finally. I'm excited for that. Let's see here. Movie of the weeks. The only reason I'm talking about this one is because the first one, this guy showed off how good Arc Strider is and got a solo 60k score in Prestige Nightfall by himself. Jeez. As an Arc Strider.
That is awesome.
It's insane. If you haven't seen it, like, it's nuts.
We barely get 20,000 by our with
well, that's normal. That's normal Nightfall. So you go to Prestige and all that stuff, you know, it's gonna double
Prestige.
Your yeah Prestige.
Oh. Holy moly.
But still, by yourself, oh my god.
Well, I would think it would be even more difficult by yourself because you're dying so much.
Well, especially the Pyramidian, like, that's a rough one to stay alive for the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Especially that last boss. I can't imagine. So Nightfall top scores. They did say that they are shutting down. They're finally figuring it out, and they're going to shut down the Lost Sector cheese come update 1.2.0. But until then, enjoy these huge top scores, such as, like, 458,056. So chew on that for
that
a while.
Nuts.
That's crazy. I can't imagine. What's the highest score you got last week with the Pyramidian? Doing all the
did I get an 80? A 90? Was it a 90? Let me see what I have.
The highest I got was like 60 and a half.
I don't have my Pyramidian one on me. I always keep my Tree of Probabilities because it's my favorite looking one. But I don't... I want to say it was high 80s. But, I'm looking to put a group together so we can have two people go into separate Lost Sectors and have one person basically solo the Nightfall.
Just to see and, what you can do.
Well, that's how they're getting such outrageous scores.
Oh, yeah.
Is they have two
oh, yeah.
people... Because the funny thing about the Nightfall scoring is... It's inactive in public areas, but as soon as you get into a Lost Sector, boom, the modifier is there. Or as soon as you get into a Darkness Zone of the Nightfall, boom, the modifier is there. So it's having two people go into separate Lost Sectors and take things out there is insane. You can get 30 to 40,000 points on your own just by doing a Lost Sector twice. As a Night Stalker with that leg piece that gives you a super back the more enemies you tether with it.
Oh, yeah, the one with the... Yeah. Oh, my God, I can't remember because I don't play my Hunter since Curse of Osiris launched.
yeah, I'm blanking on it, too, and I...
Oh, my God, I thought I'd have it. I don't have it. Worst host ever. I know Destiny stuff, guys. You can trust me.
You do?
Rig, Orpheus Riggs.
Yeah, the Riggs. Yep.
Thank you.
I thought you just made it up as you went along, like me.
That's exactly what I do. But yeah, so let's just do an overall, like, just real quick. So, update, solid for me. Like, I've loved it. I've been enjoying watching, even like the day the patch went live, Twitter was just blew up. Hype was real. I took a screenshot. The Destiny 2. On Twitch was in like the top 12. Usually there's been like 1.5 to 8, like 1,500 people in there at any given time, and there was like almost 8,000 people when I was checking there on patch day. It was super cool. Everyone was back. It was fun. My friends list has exploded this week. I've met so many people. I've made so many new friends just from everyone coming back, and it has been so much fun.
That's awesome.
To just play with people again, and I feel more powerful in the Crucible. I like the changes. I feel more powerful in PvE. I'm going to try and raid way more often. I'm chasing the Nightfall loot just because it's fun to have it and have that thing that most other people don't have. This doesn't fix everything, obviously, but I'm having the time of my life in Destiny right now. So that's me.
So yeah, I like that there's stuff to chase again. I like that there's stuff to chase again, and I like that I can Warlock Skate and Titan Skate again. PvP's feeling... I'm feeling the variety, despite seeing all the colony and how crazy mayhem can get. I love it. I love the whole update. It's great, especially with all the follow-up stuff that they're talking about in their Twitch streams and things. Destiny's got a bright future for it.
Mm-hmm. How you doing, Russ?
I agree. I mean, I think that Destiny has a bright future for it. I think it's been fun. It's never stopped being fun for me.
Agreed.
The updates, I mean, I think that they're improvements. I mean, I didn't get to play with them for too long, obviously. I mean, we did the raid, but the raid felt easier, too, than it ever has before. And I guess part of that is probably due to the update. I think that being able to skate again is great. I mean, especially for somebody who plays a Warlock, being able to have that increased mobility instead of having to run around everywhere is super beneficial, especially since my mobility is 1, you know. So I move super slow, just not when I'm sprinting, but just kind of on a regular basis. So being able to skate is pretty awesome. You know, I'm just looking forward to see what else they're going to do. You know, I mean, I feel like they're steadily improving what is already a good game into becoming a great game. So... format.
Absolutely, dude. That's awesome. Well, let's go ahead and start wrapping this up in the interest of time. I know Solaris here is way up his past his bedtime to join us here tonight, which we appreciate. Thank you once again for coming on the show, bud.
Yeah, no problem, dude. I'll come back anytime.
Oh, yeah, dude. Open invitation anytime. Where can people find your content, dude?
On Twitch, it's twitch.tv/BoSolaris, same as the gamer tag. Twitter, same, Bo Solaris. In fact, you type Bo Solaris, all one word, BoSolaris, you're probably going to find me everywhere. YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. I don't think I have a Snapchat yet, but definitely on Twitch, too. So,
are you on AOL chat rooms?
Yeah, my Yahoo is BoSolaris. My AOL chat is... actually, didn't they decommission AIM?
I think they did.
I think they decommissioned AIM. Oh, I've got an IRC. Okay.
on MySpace.
Oh, hell, that's probably still up, too.
Somewhere. I like to pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel free there. There's some pictures up there I don't want up anymore. Mm-hmm. But feel free to stop by. If you guys need Nightfalls or raids, feel free to stop by the Twitch whenever we're streaming in the evenings, 6:30 to 10 p.m. Central, generally. And we'll see if we can't get people in for a run. Nightfalls are much more common than raids because clearly there's a lot of coordination and people needed for raids, but we'll do the best we can.
Absolutely. And I mean, even if you can't, like, if you're not looking to run anything, just jump in his channel. He is super, like, involved with chat. It's just a good place to hang out. Well, thank you everybody for joining us for Just Some Guardians episode 19. When we
Wait,
do the
you
show
didn't ask for my information.
You're nowhere. You don't count. I literally know you still haven't made anything for anything. When we do this show, we are live on Twitch, twitch.tv/JustSomeGuardians. You can find us on Twitter at JSGCast. You can send us emails about questions, pictures of Dick Cheney, whatever you want to do. That is justsomeguardians@gmail.com. We are on Podbean, iTunes. I think we're on Spotify now. A few other places of choice. Go check us out.
Ooh, we're getting fancy.
Right? All the time. I'm Elmer Fudd. You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Elmer Fudd Games. A double M, double D.
Double D.
Double D. Russ, you have nothing.
You got double D's. Huh?
No, I do. I keep eating Taco Bell as much as I do.
No, I have nothing. I am there. I have a tweeter, but I don't even know what the name on it is anymore.
Do you know where you can find Russell? In our Discord.
Yes, you can find me there if you have any deep.
If you go to our Twitter page, or my, I think I have it linked on mine too. Like, the link to our Discord's there. Jump on in, talk to Russ.
Yeah.
Talk about anything. We have channels
channel,
for
which.
Yeah.
Which I am heavily active in, just because I'm running a campaign for our guys. But if you have any questions about Dungeons and Dragons, if you're looking for some people to group up with, if you know, your DM advice or something like that, I am more than happy to contribute in any way that I can. I am also a video game nerd, but I'm not as knowledgeable as, you know, Brett, who is the master of all things Destiny.
Yes, since I couldn't remember what anything was called tonight. I am the master.
That's all right. I just nodded and smiled a lot.
Which would mean more if we were live streaming our faces. We should do that just so we can watch all of us just kind of like smile and nod the entire time.
Uh-huh.
If anyone's interested, I have started on Sunday mornings when we do our D&D session. I am actually live streaming that now. Instead of just hearing about it on our Nerd Talk, you can actually come watch it live with us if you want. And that's on my channel, Elmer Fudd Games. So if you want to check that out, Sunday mornings, usually what time is that? EST? Whatever, CST.
1:30 Central, 12:30 Mountain, 2:30 Eastern. The end.
Beautiful, beautiful. So yeah, there you go.
There's
go
a Pacific time, right? So
it's a lot of fun. Sure, I guess.
11:30 Pacific.
Mountain Standard Time is the only one that matters. I don't know anyone else. I'm really good at time zones.
Well, we only have people in three time zones, so it's hard for me to keep up with Pacific.
I know. But there we go. Thank you for joining us for Just Some Guardians episode 19. Have a beautiful night, everybody. Cue outro music that'll be put in editing afterwards. Blah, 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 blah.
Join us next week for utter incompetency and mutual chaos. You didn't even let me finish my thing, Brett.
It's because you still haven't made your Twitter.
It's the only thing I have to wait for.
I know.